Thank you for using the Descriptive Audio Description Service at today's production of Cabaret at the August Wilson Theater. Based on the play by John Van Druten and stories by Christopher Isherwood, Cabaret has music by John Kander, lyrics by Fred Ebb, and a book by Joe Masteroff. It was directed by Rebecca Frecknell and choreographed by Julia Chang, with music direction by Jennifer White. The show runs approximately 2 hours and 45 minutes with one intermission. Theater description. The August Wilson Theater is located on West 52nd Street between Broadway and 8th Avenue. The theater seats just over 1,200 people. The box office is located on the left side of the outer lobby. In the large main lobby, you can access a bar on the left side. Bathrooms are along the back of the main lobby behind a short wall. All orchestra seats are located one level above the main theater lobby. This area is on the right side of the main lobby up a short flight of stairs. Mezzanine seats are located up one flight of stairs from the orchestra level. Please be aware that the August Wilson Theater does not have an elevator to the mezzanine. However, all staircases have handrails. There is a wheelchair-accessible restroom located near the upper landing of the staircase on the orchestra level. Gender diversity is welcome here. We encourage you to use the restroom that best fits your gender identity or expression. At this performance, your experience starts as soon as you walk through the door. Every nook and cranny of the August Wilson Theater has been transformed to become the Kit Kat Club, a sultry, titillating Berlin nightclub whose logo, an open, human-shaped eye with the letter C in its center where the iris would be, is emblazoned on walls and doors everywhere you go. Within the decadently designed space, patrons are encouraged to enjoy pre-show entertainment from dancers and musicians, along with a variety of food and drink options before taking their seats for the main show. Multiple bars are set up throughout the theater for people to have drinks, served by waitstaff in black pants and shirts with white jackets and aprons. On the lower level, the vault bar is decorated in shades of peach, copper, and teal, with mirrored panels on its ceiling. Wide archways have been cut into one wall, with views of a raised platform where a flash mob of dancers and musicians perform just inside the main lobby entrance, beginning an hour before the play's curtain rises. Upstairs on the orchestra level is the Red Bar, where a musician sits playing an upright piano behind a red-fringed curtain. Huge paintings, commissioned specifically for this production, are hung all over the walls, and there's even original artwork on the doors of the bathroom stalls. As patrons mingle and enjoy their drinks, performers weave in and out of the crowd, dancing, spinning, and gesturing suggestively to anyone they make eye contact with. One more level up, the Green Bar, is located on the mezzanine level. The dim lighting here has a teal-green tone, softly illuminating a wide bar with cornucopias of beaded fruit intermittently spaced on top. More beaded fruit hangs from enamel and crystal chandeliers in shades of blue and green, under a ceiling embellished with a windowpane pattern of leaves accented with the play's logo. The taking of photos and videos inside the club is strictly prohibited. Character and costume descriptions. The primary cast of Cabaret is made up of 16 actors, 6 of whom portray lead characters. Of the other 10, a few play featured roles, in addition to being members of the ensemble. Another 5 people make up the show's prologue dancers, who perform in the bar areas outside the theater before each of the acts begin. Cabaret's costumes are a blend of 1940s-era German street clothing and skimpy, tawdry nightclub attire, these garments sometimes combined on the same performer who is moving between scenes or transitioning from dialogue to song. Alone in a spotlight, the MC, who guides us through the story, begins the show proper, frozen in a spotlight, wearing a maroon leather, widely pleated skirt under a flesh-colored body-hugging tank that's adorned with a huge chocolate bow around his neck. He has black elbow-length gloves, matching lace-up ankle boots, and sheer stockings with the Cabaret logo printed on them as he tips a petite turquoise party hat just past his head with one hand. Hats like this are a running theme in the show, frequently being donned by the Kit Kat Club girls and boys when they do their cabaret acts. The MC, functioning as a sort of one-man Greek chorus, wears a wide variety of costumes, depending on the character he needs to shapeshift into at any given moment. These range from a billowing sheer black outfit, overlaid with silver studs and white patterning in a skeletal pattern of ribcage, spine, and leg bones, long silver talons attached to his black gloves, to an oversized rust-colored clown suit with a huge white collar matching his ghostly white-painted face, to a conservative tan tweed suit with his short straight hair slicked back. He moves at times with a smooth, limber fluidity, at other times with jarring halting gestures that he punctuates with sharp, audible hissing sounds. Even as he watches them intensely, his presence on and around the stage is not always visible to the other characters playing their scenes. Sally Bowles is a free-spirited expat British force of nature who epitomizes the concept of living in the moment. Her costumes, both on stage at the Kit Kat Club and offstage at home, reflect this joie de vivre. A pale blue heart-printed baby doll mini dress with layers and layers of tulle on the skirt, a lilac satin camisole with matching gartered boy shorts, a multicolored diamond print silky bathrobe with fringe trim at the bottom, most of these worn when she's not barefoot, with brown ankle-high work boots. And sweeping over almost everything she puts on, Sally sports a voluminous dusty aqua velvet coat with enormous matching fur cuffs and collar. Green painted fingernails and a short platinum blonde bobbed wig complete her persona. By contrast, straight-laced Clifford Bradshaw, an American writer who's looking for something interesting to write about, is a study in neutral solid colors. A taupe overcoat and scarf worn over khaki pants, a cream button-down shirt, a dark brown hat, a matching braided belt, and glasses. At home, he might top his shirt with a lighter brown cardigan or put on a cream-colored loose-fitting knit tank top and always sensible brown shoes. Fräulein Schneider, an older German woman who rents out the rooms in her building, has been through many challenges in her life, but has always managed somehow to stay financially afloat. A proper lady, she dresses simply in blouses of chestnut brown or soft plum, occasionally bearing a subtle floral print, with tweed skirts, black stockings, beige socks, and brown lace-up shoes or black flats. At times, she tosses a solid-colored fringed knit shawl or a long plum-colored cardigan over her attire. Herr Schultz, a gray-haired German man of similar age who rents one of Fräulein Schneider's rooms, owns a flourishing fruit market in Berlin. Schultz is quite fond of Schneider. A kind, gentle man, he is fully dressed when he goes out. An olive three-piece suit, neutral shirt, bow tie, and glasses. He sometimes trades his suit jacket for an apron at work, but the tie remains. Even at home, the most informal Schultz gets is donning a cardigan sweater over his button-down shirt. A younger German businessman, Ernst Ludwig, seems to be acquainted with people from all walks of life in Berlin. From the performers at the Kit Kat Club to Fräulein Schneider. Ernst is an affable, smooth-talking guy who carries himself with the ease of someone who's comfortable in his place in society. He dresses in charcoal pleated pants with a matching vest over a white button-down shirt and tie and black Oxford shoes. When out and about or traveling, he adds a trench coat and brimmed hat. One of Fräulein Schneider's long-term tenants is a young German woman named Fräulein Kost. Kost and Schneider have a rather fraught relationship due to the activities Kost engages in with young sailors in her room. Despite this, they clearly need and rely on each other to survive. When portraying Kost, the actress, who doubles as a Kit Kat Club dancer, always looks as if she's just gotten out of bed. She wears a long, thin robe over a short satin chemise and tends to be barefoot. The Kit Kat Club dancers, boys and girls, are dressed androgynously throughout the show. In shades of dusty rose, leaf green, sky blue, lilac, and bronze, their shimmering body-revealing costumes are a combination of short shorts, miniskirts, crocheted halter tops, camisoles, bloomers, stockings with visible garters, and a wide variety of metallic boots. The prologue dancers are clad similarly. Hair is styled in short bobs or stylized waves, mostly above the shoulders, and all wear elaborate, glittery facial makeup with long eyelashes, heavy eyeliner, lacquered fingernails, and the occasional black mole painted onto a cheek. Set description. As we enter the theater, scantily clad Kit Kat dancers sashay on and around the stage, to music being played by a quartet of musicians walking through the aisles, violin, acoustic bass, clarinet, and accordion. They languidly raise and swing their arms, do backbends, gyrate their torsos and hips, stamp their feet, and seductively engage with audience members in the front rows. The entire space is awash in earth tones of dark brown, rust, and gold. The sensuous mood from the club outside its doors continues with the aid of low lighting and fringed golden trimming that hangs from its ceiling and under its balconies situated in the mezzanine level. Also covered in fringe, rust-colored light fixtures, shaped like short missiles pointing toward the ground, float above the stage, giving the illusion of flickering flames. These flaming chandeliers rise into the rafters at the start of each act, then lower again when the house lights turn back on at intermission and at the show's end. Small, round, vintage-inspired bulbs, placed about a foot apart, line the underneath of the balconies. The musical is performed in the round, with most audience seats positioned on two sides of the main floor, directly across the stage from one another, as well as in the balconies immediately above these two sections. The main show's nine musicians, split into two groups, are also seated on the balcony level, in the two sections between the audience seats. There is an option for pre-show stage-side dining, which includes table service in the theater's orchestra level, at small circular dark wooden tables with a squat metal pyramid-shaped lamp placed on each one. These tables, with their cushioned wooden armchairs, completely encircle the round stage. Behind them, just in front of the traditional velvet-covered audience chairs, 6-inch-wide black ledges have been constructed for patrons to set down their drinks, food, programs, etc. The stage itself, which frequently rotates slowly with performers on top, is elevated to approximately the same height as the tables surrounding it. It's made up of rectangular slats of walnut-stained wood with matching stairs leading up to it on four sides, where actors can dance or make entrances and exits. Four similarly stained poles reaching all the way up to the rafters are spaced out along the stage's outer rim. At various points in the show, actors climb up and stand on small lips attached to the poles a couple of feet above the stage. Although it appears to be one flat surface, the center of the stage conceals multiple round platforms of varying diameters that can rise several feet higher to highlight the action of performers. Often when this occurs, the base of the rising platform is enveloped in bright rectangular lights. Lighting is used dramatically throughout the production. The ambiance in the theater is always somewhat dark and sensual, as a nightclub would be, and the lights on stage frequently maintain that atmospheric tone, with scenes being lit softly and warmly, sometimes to the point of almost total darkness. In these instances, spotlights are heavily utilized, creating a harsh contrast, drawing our focus to the performers themselves without illuminating anything around them. Along with changes in lighting, scene changes are created by the actors carrying on props, such as suitcases, paper bags, glassware, overcoats, etc. There is no traditional furniture to speak of. Characters might sit on a suitcase, for instance, instead of a chair, or point to a view outside a window that doesn't physically exist. The lines between what is happening in the Kit Kat Club and what's occurring in Fräulein Schneider's rooms are deliberately blurred, just as the lines between what is taking place inside this theater versus in the spaces outside of its doors are similarly fluid. Little about what exists in this production is exactly as it appears to be at first glance. That's it for now. This pre-show program will repeat until the start of the play. If you are using a handheld device and have any questions or have any difficulty, please return to the representative in the lobby. Thank you, and enjoy Cabaret.